Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Luke today. Luke, the Gospel, Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Verses 11 to 19. Luke 17, 11 to 19. This is from the NIV. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for a new morning where your mercies are new. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you've given us your word. And Father, we pray that your word would feed our souls and begin to reveal just how incredible you are. And Father, teach us your ways as we may grow in you. Father, we thank you for this morning to be able to seek your face. Would you bless this time as we bless your name? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, and eventually he's on the path to go to the cross and die and to redeem mankind. Yet he sees and he stops at these 10 men who have leprosy. And you know how gruesome the disease of leprosy is. And in fact, it's not leprosy that actually kills people. It's the other diseases because of the leprosy that ends up killing those with leprosy. And so they come and they're walking together in a group and they see Jesus and Jesus says them. And so they must recognize that Jesus is some sort of significant person. And so they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And then he sees them, Jesus sees them, and everything that you might expect doesn't happen. And that's why this passage is very interesting. We have a well ministry here that prays for the sick, and we make announcements. Hey, you know, if you have any sort of ailment or physical pain, I want you to come up after service and receive prayer. And that's the standard protocol. If you have a friend or a parent or a loved one who's sick, the standard protocol is either pray for them or lay hands on them or bring them to some special anointed, you know, healing person and have them pray for them or lay hands or do something. But here in this case, Jesus doesn't do any of that. He says to these lepers, he just says, "Hey, I want you to go show yourselves to the priests." Now, what's interesting about this is the only time you would do that and tell that to a leper is after they are healed. But clearly, they're not healed. Clearly, nothing is going on. Clearly, there's no prayer going on. There's no laying of hands. Clearly, there's nothing happening. He sees them, and I want you to imagine yourself in their position. He goes, and they're filled with sores and pain and you know, body parts falling off. And they're like, "Jesus, can you heal me?" And he looks them straight in the eye, and he says, "I want you to go show yourselves to the priest." And if you're in their position, you could be like, "But nothing's changed. Could you at least like lay your hands on us or something, or like pray for us or do something, you know, maybe, you know, put a handkerchief on us or, you know, blow on us or sprinkle some fancy holy dust, or could you do something? Because after we're healed, then, okay, then it makes sense to go show ourselves to the priest to declare us clean again because we're unclean." Jesus doesn't do any of that. He just says, "Go show yourself." And then the next part of scripture says, "And as they went," and as they went, they were cleansed. And so now here we are at a crisis of faith. These lepers hear the word of the Lord, and the evidence that they see on their own bodies is not visible to them. But they had to move in faith. Okay, Jesus, just because you said so, I will go show ourselves to the priest. We will go show ourselves to the priest. And the scripture says, in faith, as they went, as they're going to the priest, they were healed. This is a very critical lesson and a critical principle about faith that we need to understand. Because a lot of us think that faith is seeing evidence first and then moving in obedience. But that's not faith at all. Faith doesn't require evidence. Faith requires a trust and an obedience. Even if you don't have anything visible, even if there is no evidence supporting your decision. And so these lepers, as they were going, they see a powerful example of what faith is. In faith, as they were going, they experienced the healing power of Jesus Christ. It reminds me of the story in Matthew 14 when the disciples are on the boat and Jesus is on the other side and Peter sees him. And Peter gets excited and he says, Lord, if it's really you out there, tell me to walk on the water. And what does Jesus say? He says, come. He gives the word to Peter. He tells Peter to come to him. And so many of us think that Peter takes his legs, steps out of the boat, and starts walking on the water. That's what many of us read in the scriptures. But the truth is, what's actually really happening is that Peter's not only walking on the water, but he's walking on the word of God. He's walking in obedience to the word of God. Jesus says, come. And you know, Peter doesn't say, well, let me see if somebody else can do it first. Let me see if there are 13 other people that can walk on the water first, and then I'll do it. Let me see the evidence first. No, he hears the word of the Lord, and he walks on the word of the Lord, and he walks on the water. Faith is walking on the word of God, the written word of God. Faith is walking on the rhema word of God. Faith, it doesn't need evidence. It simply obeys. I just picked up my family from the airport this morning and seeing Elijah run. And we had to tell Elijah, don't run, don't run, don't run. And he doesn't understand why. And especially in the States, there's parking garages and, all over the place, he has to cross the street. And we have to tell him, don't run across the street. Hold mom and dad's hand. And it would be quite funny or peculiar if Elijah responded to us, well, why? And we said, well, you could get hit by a car. You could, something bad could happen. You could be injured. And it would be pretty upsetting if he responded to us as parents, well, I want to see three people die first. I want to see four people get hit by a car first. And then I'll listen to you. Like, I want to see the evidence of what you're telling me. You're saying don't run across the street because I could get hit by a car. Well, I want to see four people get hit by a car first before I believe what you're saying. That makes absolutely no sense. But unfortunately, as human beings, it's just natural when God gives us a word, whether it be through scriptures, to go, take care of the poor, the lost, or the widow, or to give generously. It's natural for us to want evidence first. Or if God is ready to do a miracle in your life, we want to see evidence first. We want to pull a Gideon and we want to ask God to, we want to throw out a fleece there, and say, God, make it wet and make the ground dry, or okay, you did that, God. I thank you for that evidence, but I want you to do it again. Make the fleece dry and the ground wet. Okay, and then I'll obey you. That story actually is not mainly about, testing God by throwing the fleece. That story is actually mainly about Gideon's disobedience to the word of God. But it's natural for us as humans, as people, we want evidence. We want signs from God, and we pray for signs. And sometimes God gives us those signs. But that's not faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And what faith is moving in obedience without the evidence seen. And so these lepers, they have nothing to lose. And they walk in faith towards showing themselves to the priest. And as they are walking, as they went, they're healed. It also reminds me of the story of the Israelites. And God gave them the word that you're going to go into the promised land. And they had seen the Red Sea. They had seen Moses take them through the Red Sea and, the staff and hitting the waters and the waters parting and them going through. They had seen that before. But now they're at the Jordan River. And now it's only the Jordan separating them from the promised land. Once again, the word of the Lord says you're going to get into the promised land, but there's an obstacle before them. It's the Jordan River. And so they could have easily thought, well, you know what? I guess this is not going to happen. I guess, God's word is not true. But the Bible says that they stepped into the water, and once they stepped into the water began to part. See, it's one of those things where they move in obedience, and as they're going, they understand or receive the fruit of their faith. And that's a lesson for us this morning also, is that maybe God wants to do something powerful in your lives, and you've read his word, and you're sure of God's promises, yet you don't see anything in front of you. You don't see any evidences. Maybe things are going backwards. Maybe things are going downhill. Maybe things are going wrong. Maybe things are falling apart, and you're wondering, God, where are you? But until you go through what God has called you to go through, as you are going, they were cleansed. And then in verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Obviously, these 10 lepers moved in faith to go show themselves to the priests. But as Jesus ends in verse 19, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." This act of giving thanks, this act of going back and thanking God, is an expression of faith, is an expression and a demonstration at faith. You know, on the way to the priests, one of the guys probably is saying to the others, "Hey, look at my skin. Look, it's clearing up. Look, everything is getting better." You know, I'm sure everyone was amazed at what was happening as they were walking. And I'm sure they're looking at one another and talking and just telling of how life has returned to them. And I can see how these lepers, you know, just as they were walking, begin to hug one another, high-five one another, you know, started jumping and leaping and things. So these lepers became leapers. But I don't know what happened to the 90%. Maybe the 90% or some in the 90 was thinking, "Well, let's see how long this lasts." Or maybe one of the 90% was saying, "I knew I was getting better anyway. It was just a matter of good exercise and diet." You know, maybe that was that. But we know from the scriptures that only one responded correctly. And he wasn't just content in going to the priest and showing himself, but he ran back to Jesus and fell at his feet to give him thanks, to give him thanks. 10 men were exposed to God's power, but only one sought to give thanks to him. 9 men were content on just receiving the blessings of God, but there was only one who cared enough to go back and return to the source of blessing. 9 of them was just content on receiving the blessing, and that's it. But only one was moved and cared enough to return to the source of blessing and worship God. And I wonder, what category do we fall in? As we come to prayer meetings, as we seek for God's blessing, and we continue to receive God's grace, and are we just content to receive the blessings, or are we moved to go back? See, it's a cycle. We seek God, he blesses us, and then we go back and we thank God and we worship him and he blesses us, and we go back and we worship him and he blesses us. It's a cycle that continues, and the blessings continue to flow. But how the blessings stop, how his provision stops is when he blesses us, and then we stop there and we don't go back and thank him and worship him. What part are we in? And so the man threw himself at Jesus' feet. I'm pretty sure that the other nine who were cleansed, I'm sure they were thankful, right? How could not anyone be thankful of being healed of a deadly disease? I'm sure they felt thankful, but only one expressed thanks. And the scriptures in Corinthians and in Hebrews make it clear. It doesn't say, or it doesn't express this idea of just feel thankful. But the scriptures are very adamant about the command to give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks, as the song says, with a thankful heart. It's this command of giving thanks. It's not just enough to feel thankful, But there's something about the kingdom. There's something about God's principles and the economy of God where as we receive blessings, we need to actively, and it commands us to actively, not passively, but actively give thanks. In Hebrews 13:15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And so we have this one leper who not only felt thankful, but was moved to give thanks. And so as I asked Eunice maybe to come up to lead worship, this is sort of the lesson today that I want to encourage you with, that maybe you're in a crisis of faith, or maybe you're not seeing the evidence of what God has promised you, or maybe you're not seeing evidence of God's love for you, or maybe you're not seeing evidence of those things. But be encouraged, because the spiritual principle is, as they were going, as you continue to walk in faith, as you continue, no matter how discouraged you might be, you still have the promise of God. And as you continue to walk through those promises, as you continue to live every single day, as you continue to seek His face, as you continue to do that, as they went, they were cleansed. And there will be a day that comes where you will see all of your hope and your desires fulfilled. And maybe that day is today. Maybe today is the day where you go. And maybe today is the day where, as you are going, you will be healed. Maybe you need to confront that thing inside of you, that issue inside of you today. And as you confront that today, may you be healed. But also, secondly, in response to God's goodness and His power, we're commanded to give thanks. Let us give thanks. So let's bow our heads this morning. Before we sing, I want you to take a moment to give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, in the good and the bad, in the highs and the lows, in the light and the dark. Give thanks. And maybe, just maybe, as you give thanks, you will see faith answered. Maybe you will see faith realized. So let's spend some time just praying for that, and then we'll sing.
Amazing grace, goes down, it covers me. It covers me.
So let's lift up our community and intercede. And just by definition, intercession is praying for someone else. And it's sometimes a thankless cause. But I know those who are the recipients of our prayers are thankful that there's a group praying for them every single day. And so with that in mind, let's pray for them in thanksgiving. And let's ask the Lord to really do some great, powerful healings. Let's pray for those with cancer, with chemo, or going through other medical issues. And so let's lift them up and intercede for them right now. Let's pray.
Father, we just lift up Heidi's uncle right now, God. We just pray for late stage cancer, Lord. We just ask, Father, for just even greater healing and recovery right now, Lord. We pray for Connie's aunt, Lord, and Ken's mom. Lord, we pray for Richard. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for healing that's happening, God. Let healing flow, God. Lord, we pray for his name's aunt, God, chemo. Lord, we pray for Jim's mom. And Lord, we pray for it was an aunt for breast cancer. Lord, we lift up Lizzie right now, God. Would you have mercy on her, Lord, as she's so young, Lord, God. We just ask, Father, for healing, Lord. God, we pray for Vince, Lord. Let him find a match soon, Lord. We pray for Jeremy Kong, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that his leukemia would be destroyed and gone. Lord, we pray for his complete healing, God. Lord, we just pray right now, Lord, that he would feel loved, Lord, that you would not abandon him, but you would grow close to him. In Jesus, Lord, we just pray, Father, for in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Let's lift up those loved ones who are in need of salvation, and let's ask for the Lord for healing over their sickness, that through this incredible healing and miracle that they would receive Christ. If we could have the next slide. And so let's lift them up, and there's a few more on the list, and so let's pray for them. Thank you. to begin to pray for those who are looking for jobs and employment, and there's some that have come off the list, and there's some new ones. So let's continue to pray for our community and ask for God to open doors for them. Let's pray. Let's pray for our mission focus today, and today let's lift up Cambodia for Pastor O, for New Life, Pastor Tang, the orphanage for Grace and Bloom. Let's also lift up the Philippines for the medical clinic there, and let's lift up Bhutan, and so let's lift up these countries and ask God to continue to do powerful work through them. So let's lift it up right now. Pray for our SP ministries, and today let's lift up our intercessory prayer team, our Cascade Inner Healing Ministry. Let's lift up the Well, our physical healing ministry, and local outreach, in particular the Igape and homeless ministries and the Wan Chai Red Light District ministry. So let's lift them up and ask the Lord to speak to them and use them and guide them. So let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for our retreat coming up in a couple of weeks, and let's ask the Lord to truly bless that time and to anoint that time and to bring our community together. And so let's lift up our retreat. Let's lift up our speakers, Pastor Ong and Pastor Dom, and let's just ask the Lord to truly revive our hearts. And so let's lift up the logistics for the retreat. So let's pray for that right now. finally, let's pray for house churches that are meeting today. Today is Causeway Bay, Elements, Kennedy, Robinson West, and Shotton. Let's ask the Lord, especially in these beginning stages, to bring people together in unity and fellowship and connectedness, but they will also grow in the Word of God together. And so let's lift up our house churches and the leaders. Lord Jesus, every morning we intercede for your people, God, and we pray that your ears would be attentive to the prayers offered in this place, God. Lord, we humble ourselves today and we seek your face, God. Would you turn your ears towards us, Lord? And Father, we just want to lift up those who are not able to seek you for themselves, God, and we stand in the gap, Lord. We want to see powerful things because we believe you are a powerful God. Lord, we want to see even greater things, God, because you want greater things through us, Lord. And Father, we just want to be used by you, God. Lord, would you bless this day, bless those who are off to work, and God, we just pray that they would see you in the midst of their workplace, in the middle of their day. Lord, we thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to stay and pray and be in his presence and seek his face. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.